Welcome all sports fans. On this podcast,
no sport is left behind.
I'm Justin Williams.
I'm Cabrera Duran, and this is our brother from Down Under.
Me, Wallace Bruce.
We are the Pro Sports Podcasters.
Filling you in on the latest news from the world of sports.
Welcome to the Pro Sports Podcasters. If you've been listening for a while, we appreciate the support. We are now at episode 5, and this is our Super Bowl special. So, get comfortable, get yourself a cup of tea, and enjoy what you're about to listen to.
Let's talk Super Bowl. Right off the bat, though, let's just start with, we've already announced who we thought would win. Mm-hmm. That was on our previous episode. All three of us picked the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yes.
So this is not about who we think is going to win this. This is about what we think individual players will do. We're going to look at some of the prop bets that are available out there. I know Knee's already made a few in our betting challenge. Mm. Obviously, one of them is going to be his favorite. We'll get to that later. But let's look at the individual players and who we think has a chance to shine at this year's Super Bowl.
Yeah, look, for me, Kobe, in the running game for Kansas City, it's going to be a spread the wealth type situation. I know Darrell Williams had a big game in the championship weekend against Buffalo, but Clyde Edwards-Helaire is going to be, he's had a week off. He'll be back. And they didn't draft him in the first round to just chill as a complimentary back. He's going to get the ball. So I would like to take the over on that. I know the people at Betway have 8.5 as a line in terms of rushing attempts. I'm going to take the over on that. He's going to get the ball more than 8 times, 9 plus. Darrell Williams, I'm going to take the under on him because whenever Clyde Edwards-Helaire totes the rock, Darrell Williams takes a back seat.
I see it a little different, okay? I disagree with the number of times that Clyde Edwards-Helaire is going to get the number of carries that we're looking at. I see him more receiving catches out of the backfield, to be honest, and Darrell Williams becoming more of their primary actual back. I don't know if he'll get 9-plus carries. I don't think either of them are going to get a lot of carries unless Kansas City gets off to a huge start and they just want to control clock. But otherwise, I'm looking at it, Clyde Edwards-Helaire gets more catches than Darrell Williams, and Darrell Williams actually gets more yards on the ground. I'm actually betting the over 60 yards with Darrell Williams rushing this the Super Bowl.
And just sticking with the rushing game, I got to take a look at Patrick Mahomes, the quarterback. I know earlier this week the talk was that he's back from his toe injury, but I'm not buying a cent of that. Guys are banged up. It's the final game of the season. If you don't come in with some sort of ailment, it's like you haven't played. I'm not going to believe that he's 100%. And I'm going to take the under on rushing yards. I know the line there is 19.5 rushing yards. He didn't run against Buffalo. He hasn't run for a few games now. He's going to want to protect himself. So I take the under on rushing yards for Patrick Mahomes.
I got to agree with you on that one. And it's not a matter of where he's at injury-wise. I think it's just more of why run the ball when you've got so many targets available to you. And, I mean, we saw it with the Buffalo Bills game. They weren't pressuring him as much as maybe they've pressured other quarterbacks in the past. I think Tampa Bay may approach this the same way. They do have a great pass rush, but to have that pass rush, you're sacrificing defenders in the middle. And when you do that against Kansas City, you pay the price, whether it's to Travis Kelce or Tyreek Hill. Quick slants, you're going to suffer. So I don't think Mahomes really needs to run. I really don't. I only see Mahomes running if for some reason Tampa Bay can keep this close and shut down their offense a little bit, force Mahomes to run for maybe, you know, the occasional first down on third and short, third and medium lengths. But otherwise, no, I don't see Mahomes running here. I think it's going to be too easy for them to pass against this Tampa Bay defense. And if that's the case, there's no reason to put your quarterback at risk.
Not just that, but one of the last times that he ran the ball, he nearly got concussed. So it's a preservation exercise. You don't want to try and win your Super Bowl with your backup. So just on the passing side of things, I like Mahomes to get roughly 325 yards, just a tick under. So I'm actually, if that's the line, I'm taking the under on 325. I know the betting companies like to juice up the over for the Super Bowl, but we've got to play smart sometimes. So take the under on Mahomes' passing yards. However, overall yardage in the game, total passing, the line is roughly 635 yards. So thinking about Mahomes throwing for 310, 320 yards, that means Brady will be a tick under 300 yards. I think that's attainable. Again, let's take the under there. The good people at Betway are offering $2.30 for that. That's value. I'm taking that.
What are they offering on Tyreek Hill over 100 yards? What kind of odds are they giving you there?
So that was roughly even money. So the line there was 93.5 yards for Hill, and I was going to take the over on that. The same with Kelce, again, even money, $1.85 each over or under. But again, I think Kelce and Hill both go over in this game. The way Kansas City is structured, they take advantage of matchups. They destroyed the Niners last year, and when Sean Murphy Bunting is in the slot, they're going to abuse Hill on that slot corner. And the same with Kelce against certain linebacker matchups. Todd Bowles, if you're a fantasy player, he coached in New York, he coached in Arizona, and one of his Achilles heels was tight end defense. He seems to have tightened that up a little bit in his time in Tampa Bay, but against Travis Kelce, he's going to have his hand full trying to tame Kelce on Sunday.
Yeah, I'm more likely to take the over with Hill than I am with Kelce, just because Hill has really come into his own this season. He's become their primary wide receiver. I'd say in previous years, he was one of many sort of targets for Mahomes, but now he's definitely their wide receiver one in Kansas City. And as a result of that, they're going to take full advantage of him. He just offers mismatches all over the field, no matter where they set him up. You're looking at significant mismatches, and his chances of catching one even short and breaking it long are huge. And that's why the over is so attractive. But when it comes to Kelce, Kelce is more of a steady force in the middle, get those third downs when necessary, get the touchdowns when necessary. But it's not about really going deep with Kelce. So you have games where he goes over 10 catches and as a result goes over 100 yards. But the majority of the time, I'd rather look at Kelce as a sub 100 yard receiver. But don't be surprised if he finds one in the end zone.
Also, on the receiving front with Kansas City, we've got to look at Sammy Watkins. He's coming back from injury. I think he goes over in receiving yards in this game. I think he's going to have a nice game in terms of catches. They put him outside. He'll get at least three catches, and he'll take it for plus 50 yards. However, if Watkins, for whatever reason, doesn't play, the name we're looking at is not DeMarcus Robinson, who's currently on the COVID list as of recording on Thursday. It's not Mecole Hardman, the speedster, Byron Pringle, okay? If Watkins, for whatever reason, cannot play, you take the over on Byron Pringle. They used him a lot against Buffalo, and they'll do it again against Tampa Bay if required.
You brought up Mecole Hardman. Hardman's one of these guys. He's very similar in play style to Tyreek Hill. At one point, I thought he was practically a replacement for Hill when Hill decides he wants more money, right? And Kansas City is looking at a roster full of expensive players and decides we can save some dollars by going with Hardman and letting Hill go. So Hardman's a real X factor in any given game. He's one of these guys in fantasy that I would sometimes plug in if I had key receivers on bye and I wanted a hit or miss, boom or bust type player to maybe put me over the top. I would go with Mecole Hardman. And he's got that ability in every single game. But because it's such a wild card, educated guesses really don't make a difference here. I don't think they do. So I'm going to give this one to Justin, our uneducated football fan.
The line of Mecole Hardman is actually quite low. It's 26 yards, 26.5 yards. That's the over-under. So the under is a little bit juicy. It's $1.90. And then the over is actually $1.80 for Mecole Hardman to go over 26.5 yards. That seems very attainable.
Very attainable. That's one play with Mecole Hardman in most cases. Mm. He catches one ball. There's a good chance he could go over 26 yards. So what do you got, Justin? The over or the under on Hardman?
Oh, I'd go with the over. Why not?
You heard it from our hockey guy. He's going the over with Mecole Hardman.
He's taking the over.
100%. Seems pretty legit to me.
Yeah, there's a bet to bank right there.
Actually, one of my favorite bets that I feel like you guys are really overlooking is the Gatorade shower color.
No, I didn't overlook that. The orange is the favorite, and Kansas City had orange last year. I am smashing orange Gatorade.
$2.20.
I am smashing.
Smash it. There, no, Justin, you are underestimating me, my friend, because I have looked at those props.
There's a number of reasons, though, right? There's a number of reasons. It's what they had last year.
It's what they had last year.
We're in the orange state, okay?
Yeah.
Right? It's being played in Florida.
Yes. And
you kind of want to give respect to the stadium, right?
And the Patriots have used orange as well a number of times. I know they used blue a couple of times.
And what's Tampa Bay's color?
They use a bit of orange.
Yeah, that could be the best bet you could make this Super Bowl.
That is the bet I will do as part of my $5.
All right. Well, there you go.
Well,
there you go.
Well, Justin, I'll give you another one to think about. It's the national anthem. And I think you'll find it's a duet this year. It's Jasmine Sullivan and another fella who sings country.
Eric Church.
Yes. And who actually was on record saying, I don't want to sing the national anthem because I'm concerned about the notes. That doesn't sound like a guy who wants to hold the notes longer than 2 minutes. This is a guy, in my mind, who wants to sing the song and get out of there. So when it comes to national anthem, over under 2 minutes, I am taking the under. Actually, to be exact, 1 minute, 59 seconds, I'm taking the under at $1.72. Go get your money.
Go get your money. All right, you gotta love the Super Bowl. You gotta love the Super Bowl.
And if you're
Super Bowl,
if you're really feeling yourself, we're gonna shout out our Canadian friend Scarborough, represent the Weeknd. He is the halftime act, and you can bet on the first song that he will play in his set. Now, a lot of people will be looking at Blinding Lights, the current hit, but
no,
I feel like
you want to work into that,
right? You work your way up to that to close out. So I am gonna take the money on Save Your Tears, $5.50, or Starboy. Because remember, he's Canadian, so people want to know, who is this guy? They hear Starboy, oh, that guy. Starboy's $4.33. I feel like that's a smart money for the halftime set.
Basically, you can bet both. Hedge your bets, and you're probably set.
Right.
Yep.
Well, we're talking bets, so I'm going to give you my favorite bet right now. This is not Super Bowl related, but the bet I made this week in our betting contest, you can find out about it in this episode. Just stay tuned for all the rules. But the one I'm going to go with is my out there long shot bet. It's I bet Ryan Palmer to win this week's Waste Management Open. He's at 41-1. If I hit that, you can just call this season done right now.
Well,
you'll have Nee and I like scramble betting to like, make up.
So Cove's looking to secure the bag, but if you're looking to secure the bag in the Super Bowl, we're gonna look at the sacks. The sack line is very, very short. It's 3.5, which is very small, considering that Tampa Bay averages roughly 3 sacks a game, and then Kansas City averages 2 sacks a game with their defense. The Kansas City offensive line is like a Swiss cheese right now. They're missing their 4 starters, so the over is $1.60. The under is $2.20, but that's easy money to take the over and get your $1.60 back.
And we haven't said much about the Tampa Bay players yet, but I want to get into that. Who do you think is going to be the standout player this game? Will it be Mike Evans, or will it be Chris Godwin? Because during the season, it seems like one or the other always has a big game each game, and the other sort of left watching one guy go off. So who do you think is going to be the money man for Tampa Bay this week?
That's a hard one to say, Cole. I think the money man will be Tom Brady. I know that's a bit of an out, but Tom Brady's going to spread it around. He's going to be looking for both Evans and Godwin, looking for those matchups. He's also going to be throwing to Gronk and Cameron Brate. He's going to spread the ball around. Even Leonard Fournette. I expect Leonard Fournette to have the most rushing yards of any player in this game, but Brady's going to spread it around. I would take the over on both players, though, in terms of the receptions. I feel like both Evans and Godwin will get theirs. So if we bring that up, total catches for the game. So the line for Mr. Godwin is 5.5. That's very attainable. He gets 5 or 6 catches a game.
Yeah, he functions as a slot receiver, so quite often he's targeted in the intermediate routes when you have a lot of that going on, especially if Fournette has a good game. Uh-huh. You have a lot of intermediate routes being run by Godwin that'll look pretty juicy for third downs.
Right, so the market is saying $1.72 for him to go over, so there's obviously been a bit of money put in on Godwin to get over. Under is $2, 5.5 line. That's reasonable. Mr. Evans, he's pretty much even money. So the line is 4.5 as of Thursday, and the over is $1.85. The under is $1.85.
See, I actually like Evans to get a touchdown this game. I think Evans presents himself as quite the mismatch in the red zone. Big body, tall, long, can muscle most cornerbacks or safeties. I think he's good for a touchdown. I don't know what they're giving us on that. You can check that quickly. And Godwin, I don't see him finding the end zone, but I do agree with Nee in that I think he'll get the over in terms of catches.
So for Mike Evans to score any time, it's $2.20.
That's not bad. That's pretty good, actually. I think that's money well spent if you want to take a bet that should pay off at some point during the game.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens there. Would you take the over or the under on total points scored? The line for that is 56. And it's even money at the moment, so it's $1.90 over, $1.90 under.
I would go over.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's going to be just over 60 points.
All right.
And you can thank Kansas City for that.
All right. I'm taking the under personally.
Oh, you think it's going to be a more defensive game?
It's not going to be like that Super Bowl where there was 10 points scored or whatever it was when the Rams played the Patriots, but it'll be closer than we think. It'll be just under the 56. I'm thinking like last year where it was, 30 to 20, something like that.
Okay. And I think another potential bet you could make, I'm not sure what odds are giving us on this. We'll have to take a look and see if it's worth it or not. But it would not surprise me to see Mahomes make one significant run that is into the end zone.
See, that's interesting.
Mahomes to score.
That's actually something I had in my mind, too, to have Mahomes run like 15 yards.
I mean, Mahomes to score a touchdown as a runner or a receiver is $3.25. We might as well parlay that with maybe Mahomes to go over 19 rushing yards in that respect. No?
No.
Okay, so we're still taking the under there. So just a reminder, Mahomes under 19.5 rushing yards is $1.90. So you could parlay that with a touchdown, perhaps. What about Mahomes to score and Kansas City to win? Would you take that bet?
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, okay. That's the bet I would take.
And the good folk at Betway have $4 for Patrick Mahomes and Kansas City Chiefs.
That's not a bad return. It's not a bad return.
Justin, what say you on the betting front?
Well, as you fine gentlemen know, I'm not exactly skilled when it comes to football. I do know, I can put a standard bet. The color of the Gatorade. The overall prediction. But when it comes to the technicalities of rushing yards and who's doing what and where, that's not my forte. So I'm not going to try to lose and gamble money on that. I'm going to stick to what I know best, and that's soccer, basketball, and hockey, with the occasion of the color to Gatorade. So I'm just securing my bets now.
You have your bet of the week yet?
Yeah, my bet of the week is going to be the orange. I'm very proud of this one.
Oh, really? That's what you're rolling with?
I'm putting all of my sugar in this basket. I know it's not the reference, but I will do it because all my other bets are not as lucrative because, as you guys know, I'm like a safe better kind of deal.
Yeah, he takes safe betting to a whole new level.
Oh, yes. I bet what I can lose, and I can only afford dollars, boys and girls. But my record is decently consistent, so.
Oh, yeah.
Like I said, before I cashed out, I started off with $10, and I worked my way up to $60 within a few months just because my bets are small but consistent. And then I cashed out $40 and started back from $20 again, so.
So everyone knows what we're talking about. We're going to quickly go over what the rules are about this betting competition we've begun.
Thanks for listening. And don't forget to follow us on Instagram at pro.sports.podcasters for the most current sports news. Now back to the show.
Okay, so I want to get into our little betting contest.
All right.
Right, so let's actually go over each individual rule here and get it set in stone so that we know how we're going forward. Because it begins this week.
Yes, it does.
So, number one, $50
wallet. $50
wallet.
Mm-hmm.
We all start with a $50 wallet.
Yep.
Whether you want to add $5 a week, what have you, but it's $50 total that you can add into the pool over a 10-week period.
Yes.
If you go above and beyond that, because you win a few, bonus to you. But the most you can bet is $5 per week, unless you're in last place.
Yes.
In which case, you can go ahead and wage the additional dollar, but it comes out of that $50 pool.
Correct.
Next thing I want to go over, because I hadn't thought about this just until the other day, and that's because we're sending the bets to you to log because you've got the account.
Mm-hmm.
Once somebody sends you a bet,
yep,
they own that bet.
Of course.
So neither, let's say Nee sends you a bet, neither you nor I can then make that bet.
Oh, I see.
Right? So what we need to do is whenever someone has come up with a bet, they need to put it in our group chat.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we're going to put them all on the Patreon, right? Every single bet will be on the Patreon.
Yes.
But we need to send it to each other. We need to discuss it amongst each other. Here's a bet I'm placing now. And that way, you can't place it. You can't place it. So we can't piggyback off each other's bets.
I see. All right.
And that also adds a sense of urgency.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So you have something like the Super Bowl, which there's going to be a lot of betting on. Right? A lot.
So as the Super Bowl approaches, you got to decide, okay, what do I like? Say we make a prop bet. What do I like? Get it right away before someone else does.
Mm-hmm.
So something like that where, you know, we're probably all going to have interest in it. It adds that urgency. Maybe in some cases you want to wait until the day before to place your bet. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But in this case, if you do that, it could already be gone. Someone else might have already grabbed it. Right? So we'll use that as a rule.
Mm-hmm. I'm all about it. I'm all about it. And now the rule of where you have to bet the five.
That's the last thing too. Yeah. You have to bet at least $5 or as close to $5 as you can if you have less than $5 in your wallet. Right? So yeah, you got to bet the full five no matter what sports are going on that week. If it's one of those weeks where there isn't much going on, you just got to find something to bet on.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah, the other day I was talking with Nee and I said, you know, if I have to bet on Hialeah, I'll bet on Hialeah. And he's like, what is Hialeah? I'm like, there you go. No sport left behind.
Right. No sport left behind. You heard it here first. Hey, Justin here. Thank you for listening to our podcast thus far. If you'd like to read about more exclusive content, you can follow us on Twitter at @ppodcasters. Also on Twitter, you can connect with us via the messaging app, and we will have a conversation if we see fit.
I know that you've been looking into what's going on with MLB, because right now there's some talk of what's going to happen with the season, and some teams making moves, some holding off. What's happening there?
Yeah, it's interesting, Cole, because I know it's winter outside and it's cold, but it's going to warm up eventually, and one thing that is warming up is the market for players. Just on that note with the season, it looks like it'll be a 162-game season, which is standard, but the league is in disagreement with the players' union over the DH position, the designated hitter. Because last season, when we had the reduced season, the designated hitter was across both leagues, American and National.
That's right.
This season, it's looking like it'll just be American, but the union's going to they're gonna deliberate on that. And it looks like the playoff field will come back to the field that we had in the previous season. So it won't be the 16 teams. It'll be more like 12 teams.
Okay, so a traditional playoff structure.
Mm-hmm. So that might be less fun for the fans. But in saying that, I'm a traditionalist. Kind of like the playoffs position that we had before.
Yeah.
I felt like it was more value to the teams that got in.
Okay.
We don't have a case where Houston with a losing record gets in.
That's right. You actually got to earn your way as opposed to just maybe cruise there, provided you have a half-decent team.
Right. As for the DH position, I'd rather pitchers don't bat. They're not there to bat. They're there to pitch.
Yeah, I'll be honest. When I was young and I first got into watching MLB, I didn't enjoy watching National League. Part of that is, you know, we have an American League team. But even when there was big National League games, sometimes I wouldn't tune in just because I was – you know, the whole default, all the pitchers up, so that's an out. Right. I wasn't really into that, and I liked the idea of a designated hitter because it's always the guys that crank it out there, right? It's the guys that bomb it.
Mm.
So I have always kind of been excited by the idea of having a DH and who is that going to be and team structured around that. I prefer it.
And it's a player safety thing as well. You don't want your best pitchers getting hurt. We don't ask our kickers to go and throw passes in the NFL.
Some teams do.
Oh, okay. On trick plays, sure, but that's they practice that. That's a design thing.
Yeah.
Pitchers don't really have time to be batting as well as pitching.
Yeah. I mean, you have the exception. You have a few pitchers that actually like the idea of going up and being at bat, but the majority really should not be there.
No. On the point of pitchers, there's been a few movements in the league, Cope, and the Blue Jays in Toronto, they got Mats from the Mets. The Mets have new ownership in Steve Cohen, and Mats he's been kind of angling for a move away from the franchise even before the ownership changed, so I think both parties get what they want there. He comes to Toronto, he bolsters the rotation behind Hyunjin Ryu. That's a really good move, and also George Springer, that's the biggest move. The center fielder from Houston, he signs with the Blue Jays in free agency, $90 million over 6 years. It's good for two reasons. Three, actually. Good things come in threes. Spring up gives them a good leadoff hitting presence. He gets on base often, and he's also a good outfielder. The Blue Jays have struggled with fence deep. A lot of runs were scored, or a lot of bases were accumulated through outfield hits because the experience wasn't there. Not anymore. Springer comes in, and he provides that help. also, most importantly for the fans of Toronto, ambition. Because honestly, Toronto have looked like a team that just been going through the motions the last few seasons. Just, yeah, we'll just get there. We'll do what needs to be done. Then they started to bring on the kids. Vlad Guerrero Jr., Bo Bichette, Kevin Biggio. They started to come up through the minors. Prospects. Now they're starting to get some free agents to help these kids come along. This looks like a team that wants to win and is making moves through their front office to that effect.
As opposed to just compete enough to keep the fan base satisfied, basically, complacent in that we don't suck. We can be competitive. We're just not top tier.
Right. So by doing that, that'll get the fans in the stands when the fans can eventually get...
when we're allowed to be in the stands, correct.
Right. Because this division, as far as I'm concerned, AL East has been the toughest division in baseball for a few years. So yes. Toronto has an opportunity. Here's why. Boston, they've been trying to clear cap for the last year or so. And they're going to have another year or two to get back to where they need to be. We're not worried about Boston. Baltimore, they've still got some problems. Tampa Bay, who are in the World Series, by the way.
Yep.
They just traded away Blake Snell, their ace, to the Padres. That looks like a team that, again, is just trying to
balance the books, be
competitive, but yeah, all right. So the Blue Jays have a chance to be competing with the Yankees now at the top of the division. I'm a Yankee fan. I admit it. I don't care what you think. The Yankees, they made moves as well. They got Corey Kluber from Cleveland and Taillon from Pittsburgh. Now, Taillon is a pitcher that played with Gerrit Cole, who's the ace at the moment. So you got a nice 1-2 punch with those two in the rotation. They've improved their pitching because the Yankees have good hitters, but their pitching has always been so-so, and that's killed them in the playoffs. They even traded Adam Ottavino to Boston. You don't often have that. The Yankees trading with Boston, but that's how desperate Boston are at the moment. So the AL East has been shaken up, and what I'm seeing in the league overall, Kobe, is we're seeing the haves and have-nots. The teams that have been spending big in recent years, but have been hit by the virus, they're trying to clear cap now. So Boston's one of them. Cleveland's another one because they didn't bring back Kluber. They also traded away Francisco Lindor to the Mets for Carrasco. So Cleveland trying to clear cap as well. Teams that were competing before, Chicago's another one, the Cubs. The Cubs traded Yu Darvish, their starting pitcher, to the Padres. So the Padres are one of these teams that was using their prospects to build up a presence. Now, like the Blue Jays,
they see their opportunity at this moment.
Right. Other teams are coming down. Okay, we're going to move up. We want to get into that playoff picture. We want to be contenders now. San Diego Padres could be knocking on the door of the Dodgers and saying, hey, we're the best team in California now. Look at us. Another team is the Chicago White Sox. They got Australian reliever Liam Hendricks. He's one of the highest paid relievers in the league. He had a great season with Oakland last year. These teams are ambitious. They've been under the thumb for the previous 2 or 3 years, but now we're going to spend some money. We want to get into the playoff picture. You're going to hear more about us. Remember our name. That's what I'm seeing with some of these teams making moves in the last week or so.
Yeah, that's huge. That really sets up for an interesting season, provided everything goes smoothly. But you're going to look at least by your predictions, there'll be different teams at the top of the table than what we've seen the last few years. Mm-hmm. And it's always nice when you get some mix-up and some change in a league, because it's at those times that players that maybe you hadn't really watched before step up their games and establish themselves as real commodities on their teams.
Right. And a team that was good at the beginning of last decade, had a bit of a slump, but is back on the come up, is St. Louis. They traded for Nolan Arenado at the end of January. They got him from the Rockies. He's had some injury problems in the past, and he has a little bit of risk attached to him. But Cardinals need help in the infield. They get a third baseman who can get hits, good defender. That's a team to look out for on the NL Central, St. Louis Cardinals.
All right, you got it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to mark this all down.
All right.
We'll check back later.
All right. So
see how right you were.
So yeah, I think the Yankees will win the AL East. They have to. And I think this is the year where they have to win the pennant. They have to win the AL Championship. Tampa Bay won't be around to nibble at them. Cleveland on the downswing. This is their chance.